The Israelites wandered 40 years in the wilderness, until all the men who had come out of Egypt and were old enough to go to war were dead. They had disobeyed the Lord, so the Lord swore that he would not let them into the land he had promised to give us, a land where milk and honey flow. Then Joshua circumcised the sons of the Israelites, the ones who had grown up to take the place of their fathers, because they had not yet been circumcised on the way to the promised land. So after they were circumcised, all the males rested in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have caused the shame of your slavery in Egypt to roll away like a stone. For that reason, that place is called Gilgal to this day." I want you to imagine being born in a place where life is in a circle of slavery. Being in a place where you are told what to do and you're paid to do it. A place where you're not able to think and make decisions, but you have to do what others tell you. This was the model in which the people of Israel had lived, practically for generations. And when I talk about generations, I'm talking about 430 years of living under slavery in Egypt, a place that was not always bad, a place that came under the leadership of Joseph, who in the beginning was a governor of Egypt. But the thing is, when Joseph died, another Pharaoh arose. And even though they were under the leadership of Joseph, the place was not always bad. The place where he was in the beginning the governor of Egypt. But when he died, this new Pharaoh decided to forget what Joseph had done. And he wanted to take advantage of all these descendants of Joseph and his family who lived outside of Egypt, so he could take them as well as the slaves and make them work for him. From there, the life of Israel changed, and generations were raised under a mentality of slavery. If we compare it to the daily life, we could talk about people who were born in not exactly the place, but in the situation, and the situation in which they were born, or the quality of life to which their parents gave them to live, and to which they gave birth to new children. Children who believed that to live was to repeat the history of their family. And just as Israel was born in slavery, today many are born into spiritual slavery, because we can say that we are physically free. We can say that we are able to make decisions and we can go wherever we want. But freedom, my beloved friends, goes much farther than simply making a decision. It goes beyond than wanting to move where we want in the physical. Slavery starts from the heart. When there is a heart that has not known God, it is a heart that is a slave to sin, a slave to the conditions that this world has placed upon us. So we can compare Egypt to the world and when we are born. And when we are born without God, without hope. We are condemned to live a life of spiritual slavery where we can only be free when we receive God in our hearts, when we receive Jesus, and when we receive with love the good news that those chains of slavery can be broken and can open our eyes so that we can see life as it is. life as it was created by God, and not as it has been distorted or damaged by the world. When I talk about the world, I'm not talking about planet Earth. I'm talking about the system. I'm talking about the philosophies that man himself has created to justify his actions and to make himself think that in the end he is superior and does not need God. But let's not fool ourselves. In the end, we all realize that we are weak, that we are small, and that we need the Father. We need God. We need our Creator. And that is why the people of Israel had received a promise. God heard the cry of those who were under slavery. And when the time came, God raised up a man called Moses to carry out a specific task. That task was to take all these people out of the slavery of Egypt and take them to a place where milk and honey flowed. A place where they would be free, a place where they would not only be to they will not be able to only physically enjoy the land, but where they could make their own decisions and be responsible for the decisions they made. A place where God would be their God, and they would no longer have to live under the stigmata of slavery. But in order to get to that place, it was necessary to be free of all thought, structure, and all that had formed the character in them to live as slaves. In other words, they needed a process in which they were worked through by God to undo those arguments and those structures in their mind that reminded them of the life they lived in Egypt, and that they could understand that they had now been called to a new life. They needed to go through the transition. The transition many times will hurt, but it's necessary, because it is necessary to break down the structures of the past that could be affecting our present and that would not allow us to continue in freedom towards the goal or the purpose of God for each of us, for each of our lives. So therefore, the transition is necessary, and it could be a moment in which maybe we cry, we hurt, or maybe we laugh, but it is a moment that is necessary. It is a moment when God works in us to show us his love and brings us to true freedom. And not an apparent freedom where we deny circumstances, deny things, and all the time in our present we're reminiscing about what our life was like in Egypt or what our life was like before we met the Lord. If we don't go through the transition, we will most likely become complainers. If we don't go through the transition, we will most likely not be grateful. We will not learn to see how God works, and we will not enjoy the new things in God. Because in the end, even though we're physically free, we will have in our mind the mind of a slave who has thought he was born to suffer and not to enjoy a life in abundance, which is what God came to give us. That is why the people of Israel had to go through the desert. I call them prefabricated deserts, which are the places where God works for us, and they are necessary. They are places where we cry, but let me tell you that every tear is sown so that a tree grows, a tree that makes us harvest fruits of rejoicing, joy, and happiness. But Israel did not understand this, And when faced with the first test they had in the desert, they demonstrated that Egypt was still kept in their minds and hearts. Therefore, they were not prepared to receive something new. They were not prepared to enter that spacious place where God wanted to take them to live in freedom. That place was known as the Promised Land, also as the land of Canaan. If they had not worked in the desert and in 2 or 3 days they had left Egypt, and in 2 or 3 days they would have arrived at that place promised by God, most likely they would have made it to the Promised Land, and Egypt part 2, and they would never have been able to enjoy true freedom. Sometimes we complain because God takes too long, don't we? We complain because we believe that God has not heard us. Many times we complain because we believe that He's not going to respond. But the Lord is always there for each one of us, my beloved friends. God never fails, and He has always been faithful. But let me tell you as well that God takes His time, a time that is necessary to be worked through, to be transformed from the inside out, to then move on to a better life, to a life full of purpose, my beloved friends. That is why Israel had to live a long time in the wilderness. Now, the time of the wilderness, we mark it ourselves. If we let ourselves be worked and molded by the Lord, most likely our time will be short, because we will learn. We will realize that everything is necessary. But if we only complain and see the bad and decide in our mind with the attitude of a slave and that thinking of slaves, then most likely we will not understand every move of God, and we will not understand that He is working in each one of us. And therefore, we will go round and around and around in the same place. Cycles that have not closed and situations that we have not given an end to. We have left it there. And today, we are still remembering, carrying guilt, carrying frustrations, resentment, and other things that do not allow us to move forward in that new direction, in that new place that the Lord has prepared for each one of us. So the people of Israel, the majority that came out of Egypt, died in the desert. And there, in the desert, new generations were born. Some called them the children of the desert, because they were not born under slavery, but they were born in the transition. And when you are born in the transition, you have little knowledge of history. So you get a little comfortable with where you were born, and you consider that there is nothing good ahead for you. This was the case with those who were born in the desert. We have a generation that is born in the desert, and a generation that is to be born in the desert. And to be born in the desert is a complicated thing, because in the desert there is nothing. There is a but, however. In the desert, you can meet God. Those who were born in the desert developed a broad knowledge and a wonderful faith that prepared them and designed them to enter the place that their parents could not receive because of a slavery mentality. Perhaps those who were born in the desert received that heritage, and those stories from their parents who told them about when they were slaves, but they did not keep the stories. And that is what makes the difference to those who understand that they were born in the desert. But let me tell you as well that the desert is not the final place. Today, I come to speak to you because perhaps you are going through a desert. You consider that you are a child of the desert too, that the conditions in which you were born and in which you find yourself are not the best, and you still think that God has forgotten you. But today I come to tell you that it is not all over. God has not forgotten you, and this is just the beginning. God wants to write a story with you, but you don't have to repeat that story of your family. There are new things that God wants to do with you, but it depends on you. Those new boys who were born in the desert let themselves be led. They knew God, they saw the wonderful miracles of God, and they understood that soon they were going to enter that place that their fathers could never get to. So with Joshua, these new generations managed to enter, not just to see, but they managed to enter the promised land. They reached the promise. However, before they could enjoy it, they had to go through a process called circumcision, a process in which they remembered that they belonged to God and were completely dependent on Him. Many times these processes will bring about a detachment in us. It would hurt us many times, but it is necessary, because it will remind us of where we come from, who we belong to, who is the one who has sustained us until now, and who will continue to sustain us. And that is our Heavenly Father. Perhaps you went through the desert, but I'm telling you, do not get used to living there, because that is not your place of destiny. I want you to repeat it right now with me. The desert is transitory. It is not my place of destiny, because God has a place prepared for me. If you believe it, let the Lord guide your life. He has already transformed. He is already doing new things, and soon they will be revealed. Soon you will see them. Now you just have to believe and remain in Him. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for teaching us and for reminding us how much you love us and the things that you constantly do in each one of us. Today, I only ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to continue working on those who are receiving this audio, so that they might understand that the desert is transitory, that it is not a place to stay and live, that they understand that new things you have for them, Lord, and new things you're doing for them today. I pray that they can remain and trust in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today, this message came from your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. Blessings.